Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
I read on the weekend that South Africa lost an icon, Wilbur Smith, the very, very well-known, highly regarded South African author, passed away aged 88. I wanted to chat to him. I wanted to get an understanding of who was the man, why was he so popular, and I thought who would be better to chat to than to Janice Leibovitz, host of the People of the Book here on Chai FM, my colleague. Janice, great to have you on The Overdrive.
Thanks so much, Simon. It's so great to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's talk Wilbur Smith. What do we know about the man himself?
Well, strangely enough, I think when people think Wilbur Smith, they think of, obviously, his books. They don't actually think of the man behind the books. And people who love the books, people who love his work, probably don't think really much about him as a person. They probably don't know much about his history, where he came from, what his life was like, where he started out. And truth be told, I only knew of his more recent books. And I think for me, funnily enough, I mean, I know he was known for writing books of Africa, but for me, I think the popular books of his were probably his Egyptian series, strangely enough, which were his more recent books, which, I mean, whenever a book of his came out, it was always really a big deal. And his Ancient Egypt series were released between 1993 and 2016. And if I mention the names, I mean, River God, The Seventh Scroll, Warlock, The Quest, Desert God, and Pharaoh. You can just picture the covers. They were always very eye-catching. They had that gold leaf cover, you know, but he's very well known for his African books. And as you say, you know, I mean, he was 88 when he passed away. So quite a history of books that he had. He was born in Zambia, actually.
Interesting.
Which was back then Northern Rhodesia.
Yeah. Married four times, I believe. I mean, that's quite something.
Three times.
Okay.
Four times. Yes, you're right. Four times. Sorry. And sadly estranged from some of his children from those earlier marriages as well. So, but I think that he said that his most recent wife, who was fondly known as Niso, her name is Moke Niso, she was the love of his life. And he married her in 2000. He actually met her in a bookstore. So, but yeah, quite a tumultuous romantic life he had, possibly the stuff of novels. He was an accountant by training. I don't know if many people know that.
Yeah.
And his first book, now this is something for all aspiring writers. His first book that he wrote, actually, I think it was back in 1962. At the time, he was working for the Inland Revenue Service. And because his father wanted him to become an accountant, he said, you must become he wanted to be a writer. And his father said, no, you must get a real job. Being a writer, that's not a job. Yeah. And he insisted that he become an accountant. He was working for the Inland Revenue Service. And at the time, he was already divorced from his first wife. He had a lot of spare time. And he wrote his first novel, which was called The Gods First Make Mad, and he received 20 rejections.
Wow.
Of that first novel. And, you know, that's quite a thing, you know, you can be quite dejected at that. But he reviewed what he'd written and he realized that it was apparently 180,000 words. It was long. It was badly written. Too many characters. And he threw everything at it and into it. He wanted to express an opinion on everything. Politics, racial tension, women, everything. And after those 20 rejections, he thought, well, maybe he's actually not cut out to be a writer. And he returned to work as an accountant. But then when he was 27 years old, he still had an agent in London. And she wanted to know if he was writing anything new. That first novel wasn't actually published. And he decided, well, if she's expecting him to write something else, he started working on something else. And he started to write more from the heart. He wrote about his own father, his mother, and he started to write more about early African history. he wrote about what he knew, what he'd grown up with, black people, white people, hunting, gold mining, and love and hate, and the things that he knew well. And that was his first novel, When the Lion Feeds. And that was the first story about the Courtneys. And for those who know and love Wilbur Smith, you'll know that the Courtneys became a long series of sagas. Starts off the story of two young men, twins, Sean and Gary Courtney, and the surname. And I mean, people might mix that up with Bryce Courtney, you know.
Sure.
Also very well-known author, also epic saga books, thick books, but not. He named the Courtney family after his own grandfather, Courtney Smith, who was a transport rider in the gold rush on the Witwatersrand in the late 1880s. And that's who he named family after.
Do you think his fame was well deserved? And why I'm asking that question is I listened to an audio book of his. It was one of the Courtney series. I think I drove from Joburg to Bloem before anything started to happen. And suddenly it kind of dawned on me that perhaps he came from a time when there weren't videos and social media and quick gratification. Maybe he was a man of another era and another time. And had he been writing today, to what extent would his books have been adored to the extent that they were? What's your take on that?
I think that for people who read, there's always going to be that group of people who are going to love, and I've done a show on this, there are going to be people who love the saga. Whatever the subject matter is, whatever the topic is, people are going to love that saga. And as you say, you drove however many hours before you realized nothing had happened yet.
Exactly.
But there, you know, he sets the scene, he sets the tone before anything is going to happen. And by his own admission, he yes. wasn't much into technology. He didn't hold much stock by that, but I mean, let's be honest, he was an older man by the time
yes.
it all really, you know, took off. So, but I think there's always a place for it.
Yeah.
And we're talking about technology. You can read this on your iPad. You can read it on a Kindle. If you're going to read and this kind of thing appeals to you, then if you want to be engrossed in the story, it's about the story. And that's what it's all about, really.
That's what I needed to hear. And just by the way, I also read that he died leaving an estate consisting of an island in the Seychelles and a nature reserve here in South Africa.
He sold the island. I was very sad to hear that he had sold his island. Actually,
well, you can do well out of books is all I'm saying. Janice, we're going to leave it there because I'm out of time. But thank you so much for enlightening us a little bit about Wilbur Smith, the man. Fascinating stuff.
Such a pleasure. Simon. Thank you so much for having me on your show.